वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ॐ ज्ञान निमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। Okay, so today we'll study chapter 21st, Conversation between Manu and Kardam. Vidura uvacha Svambhuvasya cha manohar Amsha parama sammata कथ्यतां भगवन् यत्र मैथुनेनाधिरे प्रजा।
Vidura said, the line of Swayambhuva Manu was most esteemed. O worshipful sage, I beg you, give me an account of this race whose progeny multiplied through sexual intercourse.
Okay, so Viduji wants to hear of how Swambhu Manu increased the progeny, right, through sex life. It's mentioned over here. Right? So one should understand that Vidurji, through the great Mahatma, right. So this sex life mentioned here is not illicit or irreligious sex life. It is a form of devotional service. Right? Therefore, Prabhupada begins his purport by saying, regulated sex life to generate good population is worth accepting. Right? Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to, sometimes people used to ask him, you know, why didn't you get married or sometime? Right? Sometimes then he would answer. Sometimes he would say that, you know, if I could produce Krishna conscious children, I would get married hundreds of times. Right? That means quite a difficult task. It's not easy actually to have children who become Krishna conscious. Right? But herein we understand Swambhu Manu, he was a great Rajarshi, and in his dynasty the Supreme Lord appeared. Right? Therefore, even his sex life, which is in accordance with the religious principles, right, that is a form of devotional service, actually. But then, it's not, it is a form of devotional service, but it's not the best devotional service in one sense. Because it's not eternal devotional service. This form of devotional service is to practice and meant to be given up. Right? So the best form of devotional service is that devotional service which is eternal, which is the Navavida Bhakti. So therefore, the distinction also has to be understood. Text 2. Priyavrato Tanapado सुतो संभुवस्य वै यथा धर्मं जुगुप्पतु हम जुगुपतु सप्त दीपवतिं महिम।
The two great sons of Swayambhuva Manu, Priyavrata and Uttanapad ruled the world, consisting of 7 islands, just according to religious principles.
Okay, so the sons of Swayambhu, Manu, Priyavrat and Uttanapad, they ruled the world consisting of 7 islands. So it consists of 7 islands and 7 oceans, right? So it holds, Prabhupada applies that to this planet Earth, which has 7 islands. Prabhupada lists over here: Asia, Europe, Africa, America, Australia, North and South, you know, poles, like that. But also this Sapta Dvipa Vatim Mahim would also applies to the whole Bhumandala, right? Which also considers of 7 Dvipas, which you will study in the 5th canto, you know, Jambu Dvipa and other Dvipas, and there are 7 oceans, salt water ocean, ocean of milk, ocean of yogurt, ocean of ghee, ocean of sugarcane water and all, right? The 7 oceans, that is all, Bhumandala also has that. So it applies to both in one sense. Text 3. Tasya vaiduhita brahman devahuti iti vishruta patni prajapate rukta kardamasya tvanaga.
O holy brahmana, O sinless one, you have spoken of his daughter, known by the name Devahuti, as the wife of the sage Kardama, the lord of created beings.
Read someone, just read the purport.
Here we are speaking of Swayambhuva Manu, but in Bhagavad Gita we hear about Vaivasvata Manu. The present age belongs to the Vaivasvata Manu. Swayambhuva Manu was previously ruling, and his history begins from the Varaha age or the millennium when the Lord appeared as the boar. There are 14 Manus in one day of the life of Brahma, and in the life of each Manu there are particular incidents. The Vaivasvata Manu of Bhagavad Gita is different from Swayambhuva Manu.
Okay, so we are talking of Satya Yuga of first Manu. Sometimes we feel, you know, this happened in the Satya Yuga, that means back calculation, you know, Dwapar, Treta, Satya Yuga. But Satya Yuga of which Manu, and within that, within each Manu, there are 71 Yuga cycles. So if you say Satya Yuga, first of all, which Manu? Within each duration of Manu, there will be 71 Yuga cycles. So which Satya Yuga of which Manu? So there's a big question mark over there. Yeah. So this is Sambhu Manu's time indicated. Text 4. Tasyam Sava Mahayogi Yuktayam Yoga Lakshane Sasarja Katidhaviryam Tanme Shushrusha Vevada.
How many offsprings did that great yogi beget through the princess who was endowed with the eightfold perfection in the yoga principles? Oh, pray, tell me this, for I am eager to hear it.
So, how many offspring Vidura saying, the great yogi here, Tasyam Sahib, Mahayogi. Mahayogi refers to Kardam Muni. How many children he begot through Devahuti, right? If you read the translation, how many offsprings did great yogi begot through the princess who was endowed with eightfold perfection in yoga principles? To whom this applies? Who was endowed with eightfold perfection in yoga principles? Princess or Kardamuni? Kardamuni. Actually, Prabhupada writes that it applies to both. In one sense. So Prabhupada explains in the middle of the purport, if you see, the husband and wife, Kardam and Devahuti, were advanced in yoga practice. The husband here referred to as Mahayogi, great mystic, and the wife also has been referred as Yoga Lakshana, or one advanced in yoga. Right? So, one advanced in yoga, see, because Vishnu Thakur says, she was endowed with, as Prabhupada also used the word, endowed with, because she assisted her husband, right, by following all the rules and regulations. Therefore, she's also advanced in yoga. Just by her good assistance. So therefore, she is also yuktayam yoga lakshana. Also, we understand how, you know, the wife shares a, she can see the, all the religious practices, all the spiritual advancement made by her husband, wife share half the result. So she is also yoga lakshana from that viewpoint also. So Prabhupada criticizes throughout this chapter, Prabhupada at various times he will criticize the modern practice of yoga. Like here in the last three lines, Prabhupada says, there is no recommendation in the Vedic scripture that one can go on enjoying material sense gratification at one whims, as one likes, and at the same time become a great meditator by paying a rascal some money. Right? So some rascal guru Prabhupada is referring, you pay some money and you become a great meditator or a yogi. Right? Throughout the chapter Prabhupada, this is one of the common things you will find out. Text 5. Ruchiryo Bhagavan Brahman Dakshova Brahmana Sutaha Yathasa sarja bhutani labdva bharyam chamanavim.
O holy sage, tell me how the worshipful Ruchi and Daksha, the son of Brahma, generated children after securing as their wives the other two daughters of Swayambhu Manu.
Okay, so then first he asks that describe about Kardam and Devahuti, right? And then later also, so describe to me about the other two daughters of Swayambhu Manu who were given to Ruchi and Daksha. Right? So Swayambhu Manu had two sons, right? Priyavrata and Uttanapad, three daughters. Devahuti was given to Kardam, then Akuti and Prasuti. Akuti was given to Prajapati Ruchi and Prasuti was given to Prajapati Daksha. Right? So remember, the all the stories will come of all the five children of Swayambhu Manu at times. The story of her daughter, right? How she got married and her dynasty or through Kardam, right? That will be described. Text 6. Maitreya uvacha prajash srajeti bhagavan Kardamo Brahmanodita Sarasvatyam Tapastepe Sahasranama Samadasha.
The great sage Maitreya replied, command by Lord Brahma to beget children in the world, the worshipful Kardam Muni practiced penance on the bank of river Saraswati for a period of 10,000 years.
Okay, so Kardam Muni, Maitreya Muni described that Kardam Muni, he was asked by Lord Brahma to increase the population, and for that purpose he performed penances for 10,000 years, right, to be purified for this activity, right, of becoming a householder and procreating. For 10,000 years he performed penances. Right? That means it's a highly responsible, you know. That means even like sometimes some people may fear, you know, that okay, I spent 5-7 years you know, in the brahmacharya ashram, then what happens if I have to go back to grihastha ashram? What will happen to my career? It's like people sometimes think. But actually a good training, if here we see, good training is such a big asset in the householder life. A person has such 10,000 years performed tapasya and then entered the household life. It's mentioned over here. Right? So therefore, this training is always a good asset actually. And then Prabhupada first makes the point that this yoga practice, Ashtanga yoga, which Kardamuni performed, was possible only in the yugas where people had long life. Right? And it's not possible in the present times. Then Prabhupada gives the example of Valmiki Muni also in the first half of the purport. 10,000 years Valmiki Muni performed for 60,000 years. And then again Prabhupada talks about, criticizes the modern yoga system by saying in the middle of the purport, we do not know how people can be captivated by the bogus yoga system in which it is stated that simply by meditating 15 minutes daily, one can attain the perfection of becoming one with God. And then Prabhupada says, in this age of Kali Yuga, three times it is stated that Kalo nasti eva nasti eva nasti eva gatiranitha. That verse Prabhupada quote. Text 7. तथा समाधि युक्तेन क्रिया योगेन कर्दम संप्रपेदे हरिं भक्त्या प्रपन्ना वरदाशुषम.
During that period of penance, the sage Kardam, by worship through devotional service in trance, propitiated the personality of Godhead, who is the quick bestower of all blessings upon those who flee to him for protection.
Okay, so who flee to him for protection, you know, Parpanna. Prabhupada translates Parpanna as those who flee to him for protection. The Lord gives blessing. Parpanna varadashusham. Another phrase, Parpanna Arti Haro Harihi. Right? Parpanna Arti, Arti means distress. Haro, the Lord steals away. Harihi. Harihi is one who steals away the distressful condition of his devotees, or who bestows blessings and benediction upon his devotees. Right? So, Prabhupada, Tata Samadhi Yuktena Kriya Yogena Kardama. So, Prabhupada is commenting, if you see, on first of all, Prabhupada in the beginning of the purport comments upon Samprapede Harim Bhaktya. It's very clearly that his yogic trance was actually a devotional service. It was a meditation upon the Supreme Lord. It was meant for his pleasure. Samprapede Harim Bhaktya. So then Prabhupada says he performed meditation for 10,000 years to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Prabhupada points out in the beginning. Okay, so then whatever one does, Prabhupada points out in the purport that will be fruitless if it is not endowed with bhakti or devotion. So in this verse, Prabhupada indicates that Kriya Yoga also refers to bhakti, and Samprapede Harim Bhaktiya, the word bhakti is explicitly mentioned also over herein. Therefore, if you see the fifth or sixth line of the purport, without devotion, nothing can be perfect. Right? So that is like the what this verse meant to convey. To text it. Tavat prasanno bhagavan pushkarakshakrite yuge दर्शयामास तं क्षत्ता शब्दं ब्रह्म ददद्वपुः.
Then in the Satyuga, the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, being pleased, showed himself to the Datkar the Muni and displayed his transcendental form, which can be understood only through the Vedas.
Okay, so the pleased by his devotional service, the Lord showed himself to Kardamuni. Right? He manifested his form, his transcendental form, which is described here as Shabdam Brahma Dadad Vapuhu. So Prabhupada says, here two points are very significant. The first is that Kardamuni attained success by yoga practice in the beginning of Satya Yuga, when people used to live for 100,000 years. Kardamuni attained success and the Lord, being pleased with him, showed him his form, which is not imaginary. So the two points are significant. Prabhupada is commenting upon the word Krita Yuga. First of all, this perfection of yoga was obtained in Satya Yuga. Second, Prabhupada says, he saw the form as a perfection. That form is not imaginary, but it is, this form is described or clearly indicated in the Vedic literature. That is, second is upon the word Shabda Brahmam. So that is the two points significant. First is Krita Yuga, then is Shabda Brahman. And then Prabhupada also says in the fourth last line, Shabda Brahman, the form of the Lord, are clearly indicated in the Vedic literature. So he saw that form, not any imaginary form. In Prabhupada, as I said, throughout the purpose, Prabhupada criticizes, you know, the impersonalists or the so-called yogis, those who imagine a form, right? Or you, those who just describe some material form of yoga, or Prabhupada calls it manufactured yoga many times, as we shall read. Or text 9. Satam virajam arkabham Sita Padmot Palasrajam Snigda Nila Lakavrata Vaktrabjam Virajambaram.
Kardamuni saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is free from material contamination, in his eternal form, effulgent like the sun, wearing a garland of white lotuses and water lilies. The Lord was clad in spotless yellow silk, and his lotus face was fringed with sleek dark locks of curly hair.
Right. So the beauty of the Lord is described in these three verses, 9, 10 and 11. The Lord who appeared to Kardamuni. Kiritinam kundalinam Shankh Chakra Gadadharam Shvetotpala Krinanakam Manasparsha Smitekshanam.
Adorned with a crown and earrings, he held his characteristic conch, disc and mace in three of his hands and a white lily in the fourth. He glanced about in a happy, smiling mood, whose sight captivates the hearts of all devotees.
Right, so manasparsha smitekshanam. The smile of the Lord has been described as very sweet, actually. It's described that number of places that the entire form of the Lord is extremely sweet. His face is even sweeter, and the sweetest part is his smile. Like that, right? So sweeter has been described at places, you know, even Chaitanya Charitamrita. So especially the smile of the Lord is very attractive, and it touches the heart of the devotees. Manasparsha smitekshanam, right? And we see this quality, the Lord's qualities are also manifested by his pure devotees. So many devotees share, you know, that Prabhupada smiled at them, you know, at that some point of time, or they did a particular service to Prabhupada, and they would like long the reward, that the best reward for them would be to receive a smile of Prabhupada, right? Which would touch their heart. So like that. So the smile of the Lord and his pure devotees touches the heart and is especially very sweet. Text 11. Vinyastha charanambojam amshadeshe garutmaja karutmata dishtvakhe vasitham vaksha shriyam kaustubakandaram.
A golden streak on his chest, the famous Kaustubha gem, suspended from his neck, he stood in the air with his lotus feet placed on the shoulders of Garuda.
Right. So again, Prabhupada says, the description in verses 9 to 11 of the Lord in his transcendental eternal form are understood to be the description from the authoritative Vedic version. Shabda Brahm, Bhagavan Shabda Gochara, like he just in the 2-3 chapters back we had been reading Bhagavan Shabda Gochara. So therefore Prabhupada is commenting upon the word Shabda Brahman, that these descriptions are certainly not the imagination of Kardamuni. They are authoritative Vedic version. Okay. And then in the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says, there was no point in seeing an imagined form of God after practicing yoga for 10,000 years. Right? Someone read the last 5-6 lines, beginning with the process of Krishna consciousness. Someone can keep the mic in hand, you know, in turn. And I will ask you all to read section of purport.
It's like the process of Krishna consciousness is to deliver the form of Krishna directly. The form of Krishna is described in the authoritative Vedic literature, Brahma Samhita. His abode is made up of Chintamani stone, and the Lord plays there as a cowherd boy and is served by many thousands of gopis. These descriptions are authoritative, and a Krishna conscious person takes them directly, acts on them, preaches them, and practices devotional service as enjoined in the authoritative scriptures.
Right. So the important is the process of Krishna consciousness is to deliver the form of Krishna directly. Right? So he had the form of Vishnu in front of him. So Prabhupada saying this Krishna consciousness movement will deliver the form of Krishna directly. And Prabhupada describes that form. It is not imaginary, it's a factual form. Text 12. Jata harshopatan murdna shito labda manorathaha girbhisto abhyaganat priti sobhavatma kritanjalihi.
When Kardamuni actually realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead in person, he was greatly satisfied because his transcendental desire was fulfilled. He fell on the ground with his head bowed to offer obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord. His heart naturally full of love of God, with folded hands he satisfied the Lord with prayers.
Okay, so he was naturally seeing the Lord filled him with great jubilation, jada harsha. Right? And then he fell down to the ground, labdha manoratha, all his desires has been fulfilled. Right? With folded hands, he started offering prayers to the Lord. Right? So Prabhupada says, the realization of the personal form of the Lord is the highest perfection of yoga. Right? Where does Krishna say that in Bhagavad Gita also? The realization of the personal form of the Lord is the highest perfection of yoga. Yogi nama visarve sham madgate antaratmana. That is the verse. Perfection of yoga. What is the perfection of yoga verse? It was just, sorry. मद्गतेन अंतरात्मना योगिनाम अपि सर्वेशान मद्गतेन अंतरात्मना तेयो माम सौम्य युक्ततम मता राइट सो वन हु रियलाइजेस मी विद इन द हार्ट राइट सो द परफेक्शन ऑफ योगा इज टू रियलाइज द पर्सनल फॉर्म ऑफ द लॉर्ड एंड अगेन Prabhupada, if you see in the sixth line, was it in samadhi stage one can see the supreme personality of Godhead in his partial form as Paramatma or as he is. Samadhi is described in authoritative yoga scriptures such as the Patanjali Sutra to be transcendental pleasure. The yoga system described in the books of Patanjali is authoritative. Right? So the Ashtanga Yoga system by Patanjali Prabhupada describes they are authoritative. And Prabhupada criticizes, Prabhupada uses two terms. One is manufactured yoga, another one is monistic yoga. Right? So Prabhupada says both are not authoritative. Manufactured yoga, all the modern yoga system for health benefits and all that, that's like a manufactured yoga. Right? And another is monistic yoga, those who want to sing the prayer, they think that will practice yoga to become one with the Supreme Lord. Right? So like that. So they both are not authoritative. That Prabhupada points it out in the purport. And then in the second paragraph, right? So which Prabhupada talks about monistic yoga, second paragraph if you see the sixth line. According to the monist, when a yogi becomes one with the Supreme and loses his individual existence, he attains the highest stage called Kaivalya. But actually the state of realization of the personality of Godhead is Kaivalya. The oneness of understanding that the Supreme Lord is fully spiritual and that in spiritual realization one can understand what He is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Kaivalya. Right? So, Prabhupada describes what is their definition of Kaivalya and what is the actual understanding or Vaishnava understanding of Kaivalya. Kaivalya is the stage of realization of the personality of Godhead. The oneness of understanding. So the oneness of understanding and not oneness of existence. Right? So Kaivalya refers to the oneness of understanding. The oneness of understanding that the Supreme Lord is fully spiritual and that in full spiritual realization one can understand what He is. Right? So, so the oneness of understanding is that the Supreme Lord had the same spiritual, He is Sachidananda, and even the living entity is also Sachidananda. Right? So this is the oneness of the understanding. So when we have that understanding and we realize the Supreme Lord, as the spiritual realization is possible in this understanding, when one is situated in spiritual realization. Right? So basically the realizing the oneness of the nature of the living entity is oneness of the interest of the living entity in the Supreme Lord. That is the oneness in understanding. Right? They have the same nature, same interest, right? Same spiritual activities in the spiritual world. So there is a lot of oneness, but there is not oneness of existence. Right? Again, Prabhupada, if you see in the purport, in the same paragraph, in full spiritual realization, there is perception of spiritual happiness. And that happiness is described in Bhagavad Gita as supreme happiness, which is beyond the material senses. So trance is described to be of two kinds. Right? So trance, here Prabhupada refers trance as spiritual happiness. That spiritual happiness is of two kinds, which is sampragyat and asampragyat, or mental speculation and self-realization. In samadhi or asampragyat, one can realize by his spiritual senses the spiritual form of the Lord. That is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. Okay, so one is mental speculation of the jnanis, right? Which they by jnana they understand that they are not this material, nothing material, but spiritual being, right? By neti neti process, sampragyat. Sampragyat is the factual spiritual realization, right? That one is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So that two things Prabhupada described. And the samadhi Prabhupada says, which Kardam Muni achieved, belong to this asampragyat category. So now in 9 verses, Kardam Muni offers praise to the Supreme Lord. 13-21. Rishir Uvacha Jushtam Batadya Khilasattvarashe Sam Siddhyamakshnostava Darshananna Yad Darshanam Janma Bhiridya Sadbhir Asha Sate Yogina Rude Yoga.
The great sage Kardama said, O Supreme Worshipful Lord, my power of sight is now fulfilled. Having attained the greatest perfection of the sight of you, who are reservoir of all existences, through many successive births of deep meditation, advanced yogis aspire to see your transcendental form.
Okay, so basically here is saying Kardam Muni, Jushtam bat adya akhila sattva rashe samsiddhya makshnostav darshanam hi. That you are akhila sattva rashe, reservoir of all goodness, and samsiddhya makshnostav darshanam hi. By seeing you, I have attained the perfection of my eyes. O reservoir of all goodness, by seeing you, I have attained the perfection of my eyes. That is the first two lines. And yad darshanam janma bhiridya sadbir ashasate yogina rood yoga. Your darshan is actually the perfection of yoga practice. Right? Only advanced, when a person is matured in yoga practice, only then he can attain your darshan. So then Prabhupada in the beginning talks about akhil sattva rashe. Right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here as the reservoir of all goodness and all pleasure. Right? Akhil sattva rashe, Prabhupada says, reservoir of all goodness and all pleasure. Unless one is situated in goodness, there is no real pleasure. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada combines, he expands the word sattva into goodness and pleasure. Because without goodness, there is no pleasure. So the passion, whatever is in his passion, it produces misery. Right? Whatever reason. Or a person in passion, acting in passion, thinks the miserable condition to be happiness. You know? Some people, they work for 14 hours, 16 hours, 18 hours, and they think this is life, you know, this is the real pleasure. So, in passion, they may think that their, you know, hard working condition to be like the source of pleasure for them, right? They may mistake. But actual pleasure is realized actually only in goodness. So the Lord is a form of or reservoir of all goodness, and to see this form is the perfection of eyes, right? This applies also for the pure devotees also. There is a verse in Hari Bhakti Shudodaya, which is also quoted in Bhagatam 2.9.39, which says, Akshano Phalam Twadrisha Darshanam. The perfection of the eyes to see the form of a pure devotee. Tano Phalam Twadrisha Gatra Sangha. The perfection of the body is to touch the body of a pure devotee. Jiva Phalam Twadrisha Kirtanam. The result of or the perfection of one's tongue is to chant the glories of the Lord. Sudurlabha Bhagavata hi loke. Right? So there are similar verses which apply to the Supreme Lord and the pure devotees equally. Okay. So Prabhupada says these statements. Right? If you see the 7th or 8th line of the purport, these statements are pure devotional situation. For a devotee, the perfection of senses is to engage in the service of the Lord. The sense of the sight, when engaged in seeing the beauty of the Lord, is perfected. The power to hear when engaged in the hearing the glories of the Lord is perfected, right? In Ambarish Maharaj section also, Savayamana Krishna Padar Vindyo, there is a verse where the perfection of each, you know, the sense, right? The working sense or the knowledge acquiring sense is shown in relation with actually perceiving the Lord or in relation with realizing the Lord. So there are many such verses. And then, if you see the 7th or 8th last line, when one is freed from all designated conditional life and fully engages in the service of the Lord, one service is called Bhakti Yoga. Right? So, one important thing is that Sarva Upadhi Vinir Muktam, right? That is a kind of verse which Prabhupada is quoting over herein. Sarvopadi vinur muktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. So the sarvopadi vinur muktam, the jnani, the karmi, jnani, yogi, these all are considered as upadhis. While the word bhakta, devotee, is not considered upadhi. That is the natural constitutional position. Right? So therefore, it's important to understand that the words karmi, jnani, yogi, they all are upadhis, they are all designations, they are not the natural constitutional position of the soul. Why the word bhakta, a devotee, that is not a upadhi, right? That is natural constitutional position. Go to text 14. Ye maya yate hatamedha sastvat Padarvindam bhavasindhupotam Upasate kamalavayate sham Rashi shakaman nirayepi yesyu.
Your lotus feet are the true vessel to take one across the ocean of mundane nisans. Only persons deprived of their intelligence by the spell of the deluding energy will worship those feet with a view to attain the trivial or momentary pleasure of the senses, which even persons rotting in hell can attain. However, O my Lord, you are so kind that you bestow mercy even upon them.
Okay, so important verse, ye maya yate hat medhas tvat. Tvat padaravindam bhavasindhu potam. So he's saying, tvat padaravindam, your lotus feet are like bhavasindhu potam, a boat, suitable boat for crossing over this ocean of nisains. Those who worship upasate kam lavayate sham. Those who worship a lotus feet for material desires, who are they? Ye mayayate hatme, they are most foolish. Right? So in the first line said, they are the most foolish who worship their lotus feet, which is like a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nescience. But they worship their lotus feet for material desires. They are the most foolish. So herein he is criticizing those or pointing out the fault in worshipping the lotus feet for material desires. However, you are so kind that you bestow mercy even upon them. You bestow mercy even upon them. So Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, there are two kinds of devotees. Right? What are the two kinds of devotees? In the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, those who desire material pleasure and those who desire nothing but service to the Lord. Sakam bhaktas are the four types. Chaturvidha bhajante mam. Right? They are sukritinas, but they are sakam devotees. Right? So Prabhupada describes that there are people who worship the Lord with material desires and without material desires. The Lord gives mercy to both. But the mercy given to Sakam and Akam is not the same. That's the important point. Right? So if you see the last few lines of the first paragraph, the Lord is so kind that if so-called yogis are satisfied by hellish pleasure, again Prabhupada points out yogis means all the modern yogis who want to maintain, increase their bodily strength and all that. If so-called yogis are satisfied with hellish pleasure, he gives them facility to attain all the pleasure they desire. But they cannot attain the perfectional stage attained by Kardam Muni. Right? So Kardam Muni, there are people who, those who worship the Lord for hellish pleasure, which is indicated by the word Niraye. Rashi Shakama Niraye Piyesyu. Those who worship the Lord for hellish pleasures, the Lord being merciful awards them, right, the facility to enjoy this material world. But that mercy can never be equated with the mercy which the Lord showed to Kardam Muni by coming in front of him. Right? So therefore one has to understand different levels of mercy the Lord shows. Right? So demigods also come and say, you are very merciful, show us mercy. Lord Brahma, he also receives mercy. Shivaji also receives mercy. Different devotees receive different mercy. Right? And Prabhupada in one purport of 10th canto compare the mercy. Right? He said, but the mercy received by Nand Maharaj and Mother Yashoda cannot be compared to the mercy received by all the other people. Nanda Gopa Vrajo, there is a verse which says that how glorious is Nand Maharaj, inhabitants of Vrindavan. Right? Nanda Gopa Vrajo Kasan, Yan Mitram Paramanandam, Purna Brahma Sanatanam, and Yashodava Mahabhaga. Right? There is a verse saying that Nanda Kim Akarod Brahman, Shreya Eva Mahodayan, Yashoda Cha Mahabhaga, Prapo Yasya Sanam Hari. Therefore, you see that they are the most fortunate. They receive the maximum mercy. In that, Prabhupada draws the comparative mercy which different people receive. Right? So, conditioned souls who want to desire material pleasures, they also receive a material body. It's also one sense mercy. You know, because out of mercy, the Lord facilitates their enjoyment. Right? But it's not a very significant mercy. Right? So the greater mercy received by those who worship the Lord, right, with less material desires or with no material desires or with desires of service, and within desire of service also there are various grades of desire of service also, right? So therefore when you talk of the mercy of the Lord, that also has many gradations. This is the important point. Text 15. Just like sometimes the devotees also, you know, during their morning japa, they feel, you know, I have not eaten samosa for so many days, or some Maharashtrian devotees feel, you know, I have not eaten Puranpoli for so many months. In my gaon, in my village, I used to eat Puranpoli every, you know, practically every week or something like that, right? So then in Mahaprasad that day, you know, some Puranpoli may come and you may say, oh, there's such a great mercy of the Lord, right? That is also mercy in one sense. I would desire to eat Puranpoli and the Lord arranged or some samosa, batata vada, whatever, you know. It's also one level of mercy. But it's not the highest mercy. One should understand that what is next level of mercy, what is next level of mercy, right? So one should not take that is the highest level of mercy. Lord gives mercy to various devotees, right, with various desires. But his highest mercy is when he awards pure devotional service by which he himself is conquered. Right? Sorry? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so it, right? Everyone can experience that. Right? So we go to text 15. तथा सचाहं परिवोडुकामा समानशीलां गृहमेदधेनुं उपेयिवान् मूलमशेषमूलं दुराशया कामदुगंग्रिपस्य.
Therefore, desiring to marry a girl of like disposition who may prove to be a veritable cow of plenty in my married life, to satisfy my lustful desire, I too have sought the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the source of everything, for you are like a desired tree.
So it's quite amazing. He condemns those who approach the Supreme Lord to worship his lotus feet for material desires. And in the very next verse he says, I have worshipped you for obtaining a wife, you know, suitable wife, right? Which I can fulfill my householder duties, right? So he immediately expresses his own material desires. You may say, what is this, you know? First of all, you criticize those who worship the Lord material desire. Immediately you yourself express your own material desires. How can we understand this? Okay, but why does he criticize those then? You know, he should not criticize those. He himself. Okay, yes. Anyone else? Yes. Huh? No. But whatever disposition, asking a wife to the Lord is a material desire. So he criticizes first of all those who approach the Lord with material desire, and himself put forth his own material desire before the Lord. He is criticizing the mentality. And he is putting forth his own mentality. You are saying this is not sense gratification. Okay, you are saying this is not sense gratification. Yes. Okay, out of humility he is criticizing. He is out of humility. He is considering himself to be having the same material desire, although it is not material desire, you are saying. Okay. Yes. Yes. Later the Lord will say, but you could have refused like four Kumaras. You know, there is a Vishnu Thakur. Vishnu Thakur puts forth in a conversation that, you know, whatever Brahmaji says, four Kumaras refused, you could also have refused. It's not that you must obey Brahma's order, you know, for having a family life or so. Yes. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So, sorry? For the appearance of the Lord. Okay. I mean, as such, he at this point of time is not indicated that, you know, the Lord is going to appear or something. But anyway, so the whole point is, the important thing to understand is, he criticizes. When we say he criticizes those with material desire, he criticizes himself also. Many a times when the devotee is, you know, so he doesn't exclude himself from the verse 1. He says, my lord, foolish are those. He includes himself in among that category. He doesn't exclude, he isn't simply criticizing others. He is also pointing out his own shortcoming also in the first verse. So he includes himself. You understanding the point? That's the important point over here. He includes himself among all the foolish people who criticize. So therefore, the point, very important point for devotees is, even if we cannot be fully pure, let us be honest at least. Right? So there is no point in being, in living a life where, you know, one either becomes a hypocrite, right? Either one is not pure, one poses himself to be a pure. Right? So then becomes hypocrite. Or if one doesn't become a hypocrite, he starts justifying that this is fine. You know, this is Brahma's order. Or this is for this is for that. There will be many. Actually, conditioned soul wants sense gratification, the mind always creates a justification. So therefore, Kardam Muni, he admits that he has a shortcoming, which he himself is criticizing. You know, sometimes we say, someone is going, together devotees are going, you know, on the road, suppose, if they're not traveling by fast moving vehicle, they are traveling and they say, you know, this is a nice vada pav. You may say, okay, this is without kanda also, okay, you know. Then one person may say, let's have it, you know, we're not taken for a long time. Other person says, but it's not prasad, you know, cooked by outside. Once a while it's okay. You know, once a while. So therefore, you create some deviant philosophy that once a while, no problem. Chalta hai, right? You know, sometimes we say it's okay, you know, it's not a big thing or something, whatever. Rather than saying, you know, but I am too much tempted, my, you know, senses are so tempted, and although this is not allowed, you know, but I am being forced to commit this. I am forced to act in a way which is not approved. So rather than accepting that I am acting in a wrong way, right? That I am on the wrong side, my action is wrong. Either we, what do we say? Two things. Yeah. Either we just, you know, do something and pose ourselves that I didn't do anything wrong or something. You know, that a person in a secret way, you know, he does some sense gratification. There are so many hypocrites, you know, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also would point out, there are so many hypocrites who enjoy senses but pose themselves to be great devotees. Right? So they do in a hiding way. Right? While away from others' vision, they hide and they pose themselves. Others bring out some philosophy to justify something or the other. Right? Some philosophy or the other they will create to justify. Like one Sanat Kumar Prabhu was saying, you know, one Sanat Kumar Prabhu, we were in one of the holy place, and I said, we can purchase something and have, and I told, everything in the dham is prasad. He said, what is that philosophy? Everything in the dham is prasad. He said, where is that? Please, any scriptural reference. He immediately cut forth. This is the philosophy created by those who want to enjoy. Everything in the dham is prasad. You know, whatever is cooked in the dham is prasad. So like he immediately pointed out that this is a philosophy created, that whatever in the dham is prasad, you can have anything in the dham. Right? So like that. So the conditioned soul, instead of saying that, yes, you know, I am being tempted to do a wrong act. So even to practice honesty is very difficult, actually. Although we may not be able to practice purity, but let us be honest that I have deficiency. That what I am doing is not as per the standard. I am below the standard. I am not at par. Right? So therefore, it's also very difficult actually. So therefore, Kardamuni criticizes, yes, foolish people like me approach a lotus feet for material desires. I am foolish in asking you for a wife. That is his disposition. Of course, we understand that Lord Brahma, he is not like an ordinary, we understand he is humble because from that humility perspective, from our side, he is not saying, you know, Lord Brahma has asked me or something, you know, I want to. We understand that because it was ordained by Lord Brahma, and out of his own humility, he puts forth himself in the category of ordinary material enjoyers. Although he is much above them, the Lord appeared to him. Lord will not appear to the ordinary sense enjoyers, right? 10,000 years he has performed meditation of the Supreme Lord. It's not an ordinary thing. Great tapasya he has performed, devotional austerity. So he has some material desire, he accepts. And he is honest about it that I am fallen, that because I have this material desire. So therefore, on one's own part, a devotee, even if he has some little material desire, he should not justify in the name of, it's a service requirement from higher authority, or the need of the time, or this or that. That's what the main point is. One has some material desire, one should accept, one should not justify. Others people may say, no, no, this is not actually, this is for the service, this is his humility saying like that. But one owns part, one should be honest. Right? One should be honest that this is material desire. You know, this is an important point because even, you know, Shuddha Kirti Prabhu once pointed out that, you know, Prabhupada would sleep for few hours, but at times he would remark, you know, I wasted, you know, 3-4 hours in sleeping. Like sometimes we may sleep for 8 hours, you know, and then we say, you know, but I require this. You know, fine, you know, so you, okay, you know, the need is there, you need to sleep 8 hours, okay, you know, but you should understand, you know, that I am too much of ignorance. You should understand it's a fallen condition in one. If you are sleeping too long, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours. One's own perspective, we should not judge others, you know, somebody may need, a devotee may need, we should respect whatever his physical needs. But on our own part, we should feel, you know, this is body is made of so much of ignorance, I'm wasting so much time simply sleeping or doing this or that. Rather than saying, you know, but my body needs, you know, this much. Rather than justifying one's shortcomings, that's the whole point. We all have many shortcomings. As long as we are justifying our shortcomings, we'll not be able to overcome them. Therefore, even though we cannot practice purity, let us at least practice honesty and not justify our shortcomings. Even the Goswamis, it's written, you know, even the Goswamis, they sleep for 1.5 hours, you know. Sarda sapta prahar kare bhakti rasadane, right? Even they would, 7.5 prahars, they would, Raghunath Das Goswami would practice devotions. Half prahar means 1.5 hours. Even that 1.5 hour he would sleep, sometimes he would condemn. We wasted so much time, without any profit. You know? So, like, you know, that means, so Prabhupada writes so many places, sleeping is a waste of time. Right? So one should, although it's a need, but one should not feel that, you know, that it is justified, you know, whatever, etc. So that the mood is that this is a material activity. Even though its body may require, it's a material activity. Right? Eating, sleeping, whatever, you know, it's a material activity, one has to understand. So therefore, one should not justify one's shortcoming, rather accept it. So therefore, most important thing is Karda Muni doesn't justify his own shortcoming. When he condemns himself also. And then Prabhupada says, in spite of his condemning persons who approach the Lord for material advantages, Karda Muni expressed his material inability and desire before the Lord by saying, although I know that nothing material should be asked from you, I nevertheless desire to marry a girl of like disposition. I nonetheless have this material desire. So he's honest about it. And he himself says that I am also to be condemned for having this material desire. But I have this material desire. So I'm expressing this before you. Right? And then Prabhupada talks, comments upon the word like disposition. Right? Like disposition. Samana Shilam. Like disposition is indicated by the word Samana Shilam. So Prabhupada says this is very important consideration in getting, you know, a girl and boy married. Right? There should be a like disposition. Otherwise, there will be so many divorces because people do not nowadays, you know, do that. You know, through horoscopes, people can find out, you know, to some extent that they are like disposition or not. Otherwise, it ends in divorce. Right? And then, Prabhupada Prabhupada says in the next paragraph, second paragraph, fourth line, if one has nice wife, he is considered a most fortunate person. Right? Now, how do you understand this line? Most fortunate person. You said, oh, you know, he's most fortunate. Most fortunate in the grihastha ashram. In the right? It's a material situation. You know, within the material situation, one should not think this is the absolute statement. Within the grihastha ashram, among the those who have accepted grihastha ashram, the one who can have a good wife is the most fortunate. Right? So Prabhupada says, a person is considered fortunate if he has a great wealth, very good sons, or a very good wife. Among the three, a person is most fortunate if he has a good wife. This third condition supersedes other two, right? In the grihastha situation. One should not feel, you know, I didn't get any of the fortune out of the three. You know, one should not feel that way. Higher fortune is to have, you know, as it will be pointed out by Kardamuni himself, is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, right, with the in the association of the devotees, right, that he will point it out. So, now the Supreme, he asked the Supreme Lord, and Prabhupada points out that why did Kardamuni not worship the demigod if he had this, you know, is recommended in the, or Supreme Lord may say, right, that you want a good wife, why don't you worship Uma, right? He would have worshipped Uma to obtain a good wife, because as in the second canto, Sukadev Goswami describes who, which demigod can be worshipped for which material result. So therefore, here he is saying, Upejivan Moolam Ashesh Moolam, right, you are the root of all. Who is the root of all? So therefore, he preferred to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada only answers the question in the next paragraph, you see, the third paragraph. Prabhupada quotes the verse, Akama Sarva Kamuva, right? Moksha Kamudharati, Tivren Bhakti Yogena, Ajajet Purusham Param. And the advantage of worshipping the Supreme Person is that, the last four lines of the purport, even if one has desires for material enjoyment, if he worships Krishna, he will gradually become a pure devotee and have no material hankering. So that's the advantage of worshipping the Supreme Lord. Text 16. Prajapatiste vachasadishatantya loka kilayam kamahato nubaddha aham cha loka anugato vahami balim cha shukla animishayatubhyam animishayatubhyam.
O my Lord, you are the master and the leader of all living entities. Under your direction, all conditioned souls, as if bound by rope, are constantly engaged in satisfying their desires. Following them, O embodiment of religion, I also bear oblation for you, who are eternal time.
Okay, so so he's saying, Prajapatiste vachasadhishatantaya. So Lord may say, but you know, you understand all this, right? That worshipping without material desire is the best, you know, or it's condemned to worship the Lord with material desire. But why do you not worship without material desires? Right? So therefore, he is saying, Prajapateste vachata adhishatantaya. We are bound by the instruction of Brahmaji, who is Prajapati. Right? Brahmaji is given the instruction. So, and Brahmaji has given the instruction because he is carrying out your instruction. Right? So then in this purport Vishnu Thakur says, but why don't you follow the footsteps of Kumara, right? Even I have given instruction to Brahmaji, fine. Brahmaji gave instruction to Kumara, they refused. Right? So why don't you follow there? So therefore, he says, Loka kilayam kam hato nubadhya. So he's saying, my intelligence follows the common people. I cannot follow. Right? So he accepts his limitation. That at this point of time, I cannot follow the example of four Kumaras. Right? My intelligence, aham cha lokanugato vahami. If you see, aham cha lokanugato. At this point of time, I cannot follow the footsteps of four Kumaras. They were very advanced. I am not that advanced. Right? So my intelligence follows the common people. I cannot be like Narada and others, like Narada Muni and the four Kumaras. Like a bull, I am bound by a rope and carrying an offering to you. I follow your orders concerning material life, right? He had previously described that I want a wife who will be like a Kamadhenu, fulfill the four purposes, dharma, artha, kam, especially the wife has been fulfilled of dharma, artha, kam, so that person can aspire for liberation. So therein Vishnu Thakur says, he's wanting a wife which is like a cow, pointing out that he has a dull intelligence like a bull. Right? So himself admits is that I am not very intelligent, I am like dull like a bull. So therefore herein is saying, like a bull I am bound by a rope and carrying an offering to you. I follow your order concerning material life. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada also says, fine, you know, if one cannot, so he admits his limitation that my intelligence follows the common people and I am going to carry out your instructions which are given for common people. So the Lord has given instruction to all, right? So therefore Prabhupada says, in the Katha Upanishad it is stated that the Supreme Lord is the leader of all living entities. He is the sustainer and awarder of all their necessities. And if you see the last two lines of the same paragraph, the best program for every living entity is to take direction from the Supreme Lord and enjoy material or spiritual life. Right? So the best program. Fine, you know, you have material desires, approach the Supreme Lord. Worship Him with pure devotion. Right? Follow the rules and regulations as prescribed for Varnashrama. So like that. So Prabhupada indicates. But one should not consider that to be the highest. That's the important thing. See, when a person follows the lower dharma, while practicing devotional service, that's not a problem. When a person follows lower dharma, considering that to be the highest dharma, then his spiritual progress is checked. So therefore, He understands that, you know, this is not the highest dharma what he is desiring, right? But he understands what is the highest dharma, which will indicate, right? And he has the right direction and aspiration, right? So therefore, that's the important point over here. Yes.
Guruji, like many times, some devotee he wants to enter in Grahastha ashram, and if he gives this reason, ki I am not pure. Right, I have so many desires, and so many times many answer the comments are given that if you have desire and if you enter in ashram, it's like putting fuel on the fire, something like that. So what is exact understanding?
See, basically it's always a person who, I mean, see, various kind of counseling may be given. You know, it's not as such, not a direct objective answer can be given as such, you know, to the ashram, choosing the ashram. But yes, devotees try to encourage a person to fight, you know, one may have some limitation, a person may fight it out also, and he may become successful, right? He may, and then others people may not be able to, actually, right? So others people may have a need to join the Grahastha ashram, right? And then they may join in due course of time. Right? So you can't as such. So therefore, even grihastha ashram has to be joined. One should understand that one should still remain duty conscious. That's the whole important thing. Right? As at Prabhupada, one should not understand, one should not enter grihastha ashram with the desire for unrestricted sense enjoyment. Right? That is like adding the fuel. But grihastha life gives regulated sense enjoyment. Right? So therefore, in a regulated way, one has a need and one takes a different path of purification. So we go to text 17. Or text 17 we already? Yeah, already. Text 17 we already covered. Right, so, oh yeah, 16. So I'll just read the last few lines of the purport on 16th. So Vishnu Thakur also indicates, aham cha lokanu gato vahami balim cha. So I am going to follow my intelligence follow the path of the common people, but balim cha shuklani mishaya tubhyam. But I will also have a desire to offer devotional service. That's an important point. Right? Although I cannot follow Narada and four Kumaras, but I also want to render devotional service to you. Right? So it's not outrightly, it's not that he just wants unrestricted sense enjoyment over here. He has the desire to enter family life and serve the Lord in devotional service. So Prabhupada says, therefore, last three lines of the purport, one should live a life of piety, follow the religious rules and regulation, marry and live peacefully for elevation to the higher status of spiritual realization. Lokam sa loka anugatan pasumsha. Hitva shritaste charano charanat patram parasparam tvad gunavad sidhu piyusha niryapita deha dharma.
However, persons who have given up stereotype worldly affairs and the beastly followers of these affairs, and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities in discussions with one another, can be freed from the primary necessities of the material bodies.
Okay, so now he establishes the superiority of those in two verses, those who engage in direct devotional service without any material engagements, right? Without any material affinities for home and hearth. Right? Lokam sa loka, a person has given up stereotyped worldly affairs and the beastly follower of these affairs. So he's saying those who give up, right? Those who give up all these worldly affairs, lokams, and then lokanu gatan, and the association of those who follow this worldly affairs. One is to give up worldly affairs and also worldly people. In the association of worldly people, that is lokanugatan. Right? Just like we had previously discussed, that the association of women is dangerous. More dangerous is the association of those who are fond of women association. Right? There is a verse which describes that. I am not able to recall that verse. Right? that the delusion that comes by association with those who are attached to women association is more than even the women association. There is a verse like that. So therefore, lokams, so those who give up the worldly affairs, and lokanugatan, pashums, those who follow the worldly affairs, Kardam Muni calls them pashums, they are the animals. Right? Those who give up the all these animalistic affairs and the association of all the animalistic people, hitva, and they take shelter of a lotus field, charanat patram, and what is the taking shelter of lotus, what do they do, taking shelter of a lotus field? Parasparam tad gunvad sidhu. Again, if you see paraspadam, right? If you remember, anyone remember the line, the third line of the verse, those who go to the spiritual world, yachavrajanti animisham, shibhanuvritya. Anyone remember the verse? Wrote in the test, right? 3:15:25. Yachavrajanti animisham. Bhartur mithas yushasha kathananuraga. Right? The whole verse is yachavrajante animisham shubhanuvritya dure yamahi upari nasvani hashila. Right? Right? So that is the, can someone check? 3:15:25. Then bhartur mithas yushasha kathananuraga. Right? Those who glorify the Supreme Lord, mitha means together, right? Which is indicated parasparam tad gun. Vada Sidhu. Right? And they relish Payush. Sidhu Payush. Right? This Sidhu Payush is the same as intoxicating nectar. Or Amritasavam. We discussed Amritasavam. So then this Katha of the Lord, hearing and glorifying chanting, is considered intoxicating nectar. Right? It is very sweet and it's also intoxicating. Why intoxicating? What is the effect of intoxicating? Sorry? Habituated. What is the, so first of all, when a devotee hear and chant about Krishna, the two things, this Amritasavam or Sidhu Payush, these terms come often together. This is a nectar which is very sweet to taste, and it is very intoxicating also. Intoxicating means a person forgets material existence. So by hearing and chanting, a person forgets material existence. He transcends material existence. For intoxication, like a person forgets his misery, so this material place is a place of miseries. So by hearing and chanting, that nectar has an intoxicating effect also. Because it makes a person forgets material miseries. Like that. Go to text 18. Nateja raksha bhramera yuresham. Raksha bhramera yuresham. Trayo dasharam trishatam shasti parva. Shanne menanta chadiyatrinabi. Karal shroto jagat achidyadhavat.
Your wheel, which has three names, rotate around the axis of the imperishable Brahman. It has 13 spokes, 360 joints, 6 rims, and numberless leaves carved upon it. Though its revolution cuts short the lifespan of the entire creation, this wheel of tremendous velocity cannot touch the lifespan of the devotees of the Lord.
Okay. So, anyway, this is a metaphorical comparison. The time is compared here, that one duration of time, 360 days, is compared to a chakra, right? Kala chakra. So that metaphorical comparison is given. So the point made herein is this wheel of tremendous velocity, right, cannot touch the lifespan of the devotees of the Lord. Right? The devotees who do hear, chant and glorify the Lord in the spirit of cooperation, right? Two things we have said, that hearing, chanting the Lord in cooperation and with affection. Right? Previously we had discussed Bharatur Mithash Yashasa Kathana Anuraga, with cooperation and affection, they are beyond the effect of the time. And so the devotees are beyond birth, old age, disease and death. Which is the time the Kala Chakra produces this in a cyclic manner. Right? Birth, old, disease and death. So the devotees are beyond birth because they will not be taking another birth. They are beyond old age. Right? Their enthusiasm goes on increasing, right, with Krishna as their life progress. They are beyond disease. Right? Those who are not hearing chanting, they are like in a disease condition, not the devotees. Devotees, since they do not identify with the body, so they are not diseased. And they are beyond death also. Right? Because Krishna comes at death. So as you see, so therefore we can see that how the devotees, they are free from the effect of Kala Chakra, which produces birth, old age, disease and death in a cyclic fashion. Right? So that's what Kardamuni expresses over here. And there are similar verse, second canto, Ayur Harti Vaipum Sam, right? Uttam shloka vartaya. Similar verse, second canto. Road text 19. We'll just complete the 3-4 pages and then take a break. Eka soyam san jagatasi sikshaya. Dutiya atman adi yoga mayaya. Sajasya dapa shipunar grishishyase. Yathonanabhir Bhagavansa Shakti Bhi.
My dear Lord, you alone create the universes. O Personality of Godhead, desiring to create these universes, you create them, maintain them, and again wind them up by your own energies, which are under the control of your second energy, called Yogmaya. Just as a spider creates a cobweb by its own energy, and again winds it up.
Right, so now, again, as if the Lord is saying, but why you may not worship other demigods, like that was pointed out Prabhupada the purport. Now, Vishwanath Thakur points out, the Lord may ask, but why don't you not fulfill your material desire by worshipping demigods? Right, so therefore, in this verse is saying, I don't see anyone except you in this universe. Eka soyam san jagatasya sikshaya. Right? So therefore the understanding is, my Lord, there is no one else except you. You create through Brahma. You maintain through your expansion as Vishnu. You destroy through Lord Shiva. Right? You satisfy the desires of various follow the demigods. You only satisfy, you only award that. Right? Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita also, even the desire that those benediction which they receive are ultimately awarded by me only. Right? So in this way, in two verses, first of all, after glorifying the process of devotional service, right, his two verses saying that there is no point in approaching anyone else. There is no one except you in the entire creation. You only create, you only maintain, you only destroy. And the example is given, yatha unna nabir bhagavan so shakti bhi. Right, so the example of spider is very important because spider does not collect material like human beings say, I have made this building, but you know we took material from somewhere outside, etc. Right, and we had to take a lot of help from outside, but the spider from his own body he generates the material for construction of web, and he winds it up all. So therefore his example is the most appropriate. Right, he doesn't picks up. The bird may create a nest, but bird takes material from outside of his own. But spider does not. Spider with his own energy, his own saliva creates and then winds it up. So that example is given. But that intelligence and that power is given by Supreme Lord only to the spider. But that's the closest example to demonstrate that the Lord by his own energies creates, maintains and destroys. Okay, so therefore, there is no point of worshipping anyone else. Rather, there is no one else in this entire creation, whom should I worship? You alone are there. So that's the point being made. 20. Netad batadhi shapadam tavipsitam. Yanma yajarnas tanushe bhuta sukshmam. అనుగ్రహాయాస్త్వపియర్హి మాయయా లసత్తులస్య భగవాన్ విలక్షిత.
My dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us, for you have appeared before us in your eternal form, adorned with splendid wreath of tulsi leaves.
Okay, so important point he makes is that, you know, you, as he mentioned, you alone are there, you only create everything. So the point is, it is not your desire that you create the entire material cosmos. He's saying it is in response to the conditioned soul desire that you create. Right? And another point, I mean, the similar related point is, my Lord Vishnu Thakur says, Kardamuni is saying, you bestow material benefits to us because of our Maya, because we are in Maya. Although you don't desire to, it's not out of your own desire. You don't create out of your own desire. It is in response to conditioned soul's desire to enjoy. Similarly, the Lord bestows material benediction also upon the devotees. Although he doesn't desire to, it's only because of, I think, our desire that you sometimes bestow material benediction. Right? So, basically he's saying that although you give the material benediction, right, this material benediction, but at the same time, you see that the devotees can ultimately see your lotus feet, right, which is endowed with tulsi, or your form with the shining tulsi leaf, lasat tulasya bhagavan vilakshita. So the Lord, as we shall see in this prayers, there is a verse in 5th canto, which says satyam dishati arthitam arthito nirnam. Right? So that is a very appropriate verse. It's 5:19:27. Satyam dishati, the Lord does give material benediction. Satyam dishati arthitam. Arthitam means material benediction. Arthito means a person who desires. However, navartha do yat punar arthita yata. He doesn't give in a way that a person's material hankering increase. Right? He doesn't give in a way the person material hanging grease. He gives in such a way, right? Swayam vidatte bhajatam anichitam iccha pidanam nija pada pallavam. So the Lord gives a package. Right? Get one. You know, you want one, I'll give something else for free along with it. What he gives free is the shelter of his lotus feet. Right? Along the material benediction, the Lord package is in the material benediction in such a way that he gives his own lotus feet. As like, you know, you want one, but you get something free along with that. And that free thing makes a person forgets the desire. You know, it covers the desire, removes the desire for what he had been desiring. So that is a beautiful verse, 5:19:27. So in this two verses, 20:21, the similar theme of that 5:19:27.
తం త్వానుభూత్యో పరతాక్రియార్థం సోమాయయా వర్తిత లోకతంత్రం నామాన్య భిక్ష్ణం నమనీయ పాదా సరోజమల్పీయసి కామవర్షం.
I continuously offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet, of which it is worthy to take shelter, because you shower all benediction on the insignificant. To give all living entities detachment from fruitive activity by realizing you, you have expanded these material worlds by your own energy.
Right? So to give all living entities detachment from fruitive activity by realizing you, you have expanded this material world by your own energy. Right? So read the last 6-7 lines of the purport. The conclusion is that.
The conclusion is that one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for any benediction. The word Kama Varsham is very significant, for it indicates that he satisfies the desire of anyone who approaches him. But one who sincerely loves Krishna and yet wants material enjoyment is in perplexity. Krishna, being very kind toward him, gives him an opportunity to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and so he gradually forgets the hallucination.
Okay, so that's the conclusion of these two verses, 20-21. And now Rishi Ruvacha, if you see the verse 12 or 13 were also Rishi Ruvacha. This Rishi is Kardamuni and this Rishi is Maitre Rishi now. We'll continue after the break. Okay, so quickly let's see the summary of Kardamuni's prayer. First of all, he says that it's my great fortune to be able to see this form of yours, right? And then he says, but those who worship you for material desire, they are the most foolish. And the next verse is, I am one of them, right? Because I desire a wife, right? Who will be of the same, similar disposition, Samana Shilam. And then he says, I desire this because Lord Brahma, he has instructed us. And I have to follow the way of common people, the way of material, you know, the people live material life. But at the same time, I want to cultivate devotional service. Right? So this is an important point here we just discussed, that one should understand that material desire is not as much as an impediment as the cultivation of material desire. One may have material desire, but one should only cultivate devotional service and not cultivate material desires. When a person goes to demigods and other, you know, people, then he's actually actively cultivating material desires. Right? So therefore, material desire, if you see, if at all, you know, like, if the devotee is there practicing devotional service, you know, he may come out of the college and he wants to do a job. That is a material desire. So he, for him to go and pray that, my Lord, let me have a job in which I can cultivate devotional service. Right? So that prayer is a very realistic prayer, because he need to have a job. Then why not go to the Supreme Lord? Right? Why not go to the Supreme Lord? Because therefore every person has some, you know, these material desires also fall under, you know, that in this material world, everyone has certain material needs, which are also material. We are not talking of unlawful material desires, sinful material desires, which are the material desires which are lawful, right? Everyone has that need in this material world. Then, for all that, it is rather than trying with the strength of one's own mind, intelligence, or approaching, you know, influential people or politicians or this and that, you know, so many people like we do. Better, first of all, we express before the Lord, you know, that at this stage of life, you know, I have this particular need, right? But I want to sincerely cultivate devotional service. So therefore, material desire may be there, but let that desire not be cultivated, only devotional service be cultivated. Right? So that's the important point. So therefore, in the text, which is the fourth prayer, right, he says, although I am following the ways of common people, I am bound to follow. Lord Brahma has instructed me and I also have that inclination. But please allow that I may also, please also fulfill the desire of that I may also offer devotional service to you. And that he expresses in the text 16. Then, however, most fortunate are the devotees who give up the worldly affairs and the association of those who pursue worldly affairs and they hear and chant, right? And they are able to overcome the wheel, effect of the wheel of the time. Okay, that is expressed in the 17-18. Then, I can't go to anyone else for this fulfillment of my material desire, because you alone, there's no one else but you, right? That is expressed. And then the Lord does give material benediction, but in a way that a person, material desires do not grow, right? They gradually, the Lord awards also the shelter of his lotus feet, and person is gradually purified of that material desires. So that is like the flow of the prayers of Kardam Muni, which are a very important section of this, most important section of this chapter. Text 22. Iti avvalik rishir uvacha. Iti avvalikam pranutob janabhas. Tama bhavashe vachanamritena. Supand paksho parirochamana. Prema smitodvikshana vibramad brubru.
Maitreya resumed, sincerely extolled in these words, Lord Vishnu, shining very beautifully on the shoulders of Garuda, replied with words as sweet as nectar. His eyebrows moved gracefully as he looked at the sage with a smile full of affection.
Okay, so the Lord who was in front of Kardam Muni was shining very beautifully. He was standing on the shoulder of Garuda. His smile was full of affection, right? Prema smito udvikshan. And then Prabhupada comments on the word vachasa amritena. The Lord's speech was very nectarian. Lord spoke to Kardam Muni in a very nectarian words. So Prabhupada talks about, mainly in the purport, Prabhupada focuses on the word vachasa amritena. And the fifth line, Prabhupada says, the Amrit, the word Amrit refers to one who does not meet with death. The words and activities of the Lord are deathless. Therefore, they are not manufactured of this material world. Right? So then Prabhupada compares that his words, right, which is coming from his mouth, and the sound of the holy name, his name, right? And his pastime, Prabhupada also says, they are all on the same absolute level. Like that. So in the middle of the purport, the sound of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, everlastingly increases the enthusiasm of the chanter. Right? I just read as it is. Although, it's a half Mahamantra. It's there already in the dash. The other half is there. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Viditva Tava Chaityam Me Purava Samyo Purava Samyo Titat Samyo Jitat Yadartam Atma Niyames Tvayavaham Samarchita.
The Supreme Lord said, having come to know what was in your mind, I have already arranged for that for which you have worshipped me. Well, through your mental and sensory discipline.
Okay, so Lord said, I have already arranged the fulfillment of your desire. So Lord is very proactive, you know. Like people in the world talk of, you know, it's very important to be proactive. So we see that quality, the Lord's proactive quality. Right? So Prabhupada says, he never disappoints a sincere devotee, right? The Supreme Lord, regardless of what he wants. But he never allows anything which will be detrimental to the individual's devotional service. Na vajatu mrishaiva syat ప్రజాధ్యక్షమదర్హణం భవద్విదేశు అతితరాం మై సంగర్భితాత్మనాం.
The Lord continued, My dear Rishi, O leader of the living entities, for those who serve me in devotion by worshipping me, especially persons like you who have given up everything unto me, there is never any question of frustration.
Right? So again Prabhupada talks of akama and sakama devotees, and Prabhupada describes the sakama devotees are the four categories as given in Bhagavad Gita. Right? And then finally Prabhupada says there is no frustration for any of these four classes of men, those who are sakam. Each is endowed with the desired result of his worship. Right? So like Prabhupada also said, devotee of the Lord is never defeated. Right? Devotee of the Lord is never defeated. So one should somehow one should continue to offer devotional service to the Lord. That's the important thing. Text 25.
Prajapati Suta Samran Manur Vikhyata Mangalaha Brahma Vartam Yo Adhivasan Shasti Saptarnavam Mahim.
The Emperor Swayambhu Manu, the son of Lord Brahma, who is well known for his righteous acts, has his seat in Brahmavarta and rules over the earth with its seven oceans.
Okay, so Lord started describing that about Swayambhu Manu, son of Lord Brahma. Right? And Prabhupada just gave one insight. There is a place known as Brahmavarta, and Prabhupada says this Brahmavarta is a part of Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is a part of Brahmavarta. So Prabhupada says this Brahmavarta is the same as Kurukshetra. And also Prabhupada says, but other opinions, Swayambhu Manu was ruling from the planet of Lord Brahma. Right? So therefore, this is a place in Brahmaloka, Prabhupada says, there is Brahmavarta. But then Prabhupada says, there are many places on this planet which also the names are existing in the higher planets also. Just like in the spiritual world, there is Ayodhya, there is a place Ayodhya also. Similarly, there are many places in higher planets and the earth also have those places, the same names. That is possible. 26.
Sacheha Vipra Rajarishir Mahishya Shatarupaya Ayasya Dedarikshustvam Prashvo dharma ko vida Atmajamasi tapangim Vayashila gunanvitam Hrigayantim patim dasyate Anurupayate prabho.
The day after tomorrow, O Brahmana, that celebrated emperor who is expert in religious activities will come here with his queen, Shatarupa, wishing to see you. He has a grown-up daughter whose eyes are black. She is ready for marriage and she has good character and all good qualities. She is also searching for a good husband. My dear sir, her parents will come to see you who are exactly suitable for her, just to deliver the daughter as your wife.
Okay, so the Lord describes, very soon Swayambhu Manu will himself come to offer his daughter, you know, she is very suitable bride for you. So the Lord describes in detail. Right? And then Prabhupada in the Prabhupada gives a purport in the cultural context that how, you know, that the parents of the girl should actually search a good husband. It's their responsibility. Right? And similar to that, like Prabhupada said, that the girl has a freedom of choice, right? The parents should consult. But she doesn't have the freedom of... Anyone remembers Prabhupada talks in the purport? A girl can have freedom of choice, but not freedom of association. Right? Freedom of free mixing, that is not allowed. Freedom of choice is allowed. So therefore, even you know, Lord informed that she also desires to have you as a husband. He's sitting in the forest doing tapasya. Right? She's the princess, you know, and there is no Facebook account of Kardam Muni, you know. How did she find out there is a tapasvi? Right? Tapasvi sitting inside the forest. So Narada Muni spoke of the good qualities of Kardam Muni, you know, and she heard and she spoke. She got also a desire to have Kardam Muni as her husband.
Samahitam te hridayam yatreman parivatsaran satvam brahman nipavadhu kamam ashu bhajishyati.
That princess, O holy sage, will be just the type you have been thinking of in your heart for all these long years. She will soon be yours and will serve you to your heart's content.
Okay, so the Lord says that it will be just a suitable wife for you, right, Devahuti. So, Prabhupada says, fourth line, only by God's grace can one get a nice wife just as he desires. Similarly, it is only by the God's grace that a girl gets a husband suitable to her heart. Thus, it is said that if we pray to the Supreme Lord in every transaction of our material existence, right, very important line. Right, this material world will have many material, many transactions. Right, in this material world, we will have many transactions of material existence. Right, or there will be so many transactions during our material existence in this world. Everything will be done very nicely and just suitable to our heart's desire. If you pray to the Supreme Lord in every transaction of material existence, everything will be done very nicely and just suitable to our heart desire. In other words, in all circumstances, we must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depend completely on His decision. The fulfillment of desires, therefore, should be entrusted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nicest solution. Right? So Prabhupada says, thus Kardam Muni got a wife beyond his expectation. If we depend on the choice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will receive benediction in greater opulence than we desire. It looks like Prabhupada is encouraging everyone, encouraging everyone to approach the Supreme Lord. Because there are, although we want to minimize our material needs, but still in this material world, everyone has to have some material, you know, desires, material needs to be satisfied. You know, one has to have many material transactions in this world, right? One cannot avoid that, right? Therefore, one should, at every step, one should pray to the Supreme Lord that his material, that let him, let his material situation be such that his devotional service may prosper, right? Now, sometimes the devotional service may prosper by the frustration of material desire. Sometimes by the fulfillment of material desire. It's not that there has to be stereotype. Right? So some person's material life may prosper by having a wife not suitable to his desires. Other person's material life or spiritual life may prosper by having a wife suitable to his desire. So it's not a stereotype idea. That's what the point over here in. But Prabhupada said, let the choice be left to the Supreme Lord. One can express with the Supreme Lord and let the choice be left to Him. And one should not unduly worry and one should not unduly put, you know, so much energy, right? Let it happen by the desire of the Lord. And one should spend his energy to hear and chant and serve Him. That's the whole point. And let, by the Lord's arrangement, you know, the material transaction be carried out, and that will be the best possible way. So one should look, one has to make decision, but one should look the inspiration from the Lord. Right? One should always have a prayerful disposition in every material transaction. Right? We cannot stop material transaction. Right? There is no way. But one should have always a prayerful disposition in every material transaction and let one's life be guided by the decision of the Lord. While our priority should remain to serve Him. Right? So that's the best you know, kind of possible situation we can have in the material world. So even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, as Prabhupada says, that that only by God's grace that one can achieve anything nice, right? Prabhupada is pointing out. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was passing through Jharikhand forest, you know, he was remembering Vrindavan at every step, and he was having very simple food, vanya bhojan, right? And then the Lord said one thing. He said, Kripara samudra dina hina dayamay, Krishna kripa vina kona sukha nahi hai. He said, actually, I felt great happiness coming through this forest. You know, I was remembering Vrindavan, I was having very simple food, vanya bhojan, right? Which satisfied the Lord. He said, all this mercy of the Lord, right? The Lord didn't want me to go through all the, you know, Bengal and everything to Vrindavan. He wanted me to have this, right? So he arranged me to go through now Jharikhand forest, and I am able to experience such great happiness. And he says, Krishna kripa vina kona sukha nahi hai. Without Lord's kripa, there is no happiness. Right? So whatever happiness one may get, that is all by Lord's kripa only. Right? But his ultimate kripa is when he awards the shelter of his lotus feet. Yata atma britam viryam navda prasvas tadva prasavishyati virya tudi rishaya adhasyante anjasatmana tamcha samyak anushthaya nideshamma ashuttama mai tirthi kritashesha kriyartho mam prapatsese.
She will bring forth 9 daughters from the seeds sown in her by you, and through the daughters you beget, the sages will duly beget children. With your heart cleansed by properly carrying out my command, resigning to me the fruits of all your acts, you will finally attain to me.
Okay, so Prabhupada talks about the last two lines. Mai tirthi krit ashesh kriya, right? Offering all the activities, right? Ashesh, all the kriya, right? All the fruits of your actions when you offer to me, right? And then you will attain me, mam prapasyase. Right? Where the law says a similar thing in Bhagavad Gita? Yat karoshi yad ashnashi. Prabhupada quotes that verse, right? He quotes that, the translation of that verse in the 6th line. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice. Text 31. Kritva dayam cha jiveshu tatva cha bhayam atmavan mai atmanam saha jagad drakshase atmani chapimam.
Showing compassion to all living entities, you will attain self-realization. Giving assurance of safety to all, you will perceive your own self as well as all the universes in me and myself in you.
Okay, so the Lord is pointing out that kritva dayam cha jiveshu, you will show compassion to all living entities in your grihastha life, right? In a grihastha life, a person is supposed to show mercy to all living, as a householder, a person shows to mercy to all living beings, right? He should be charitably disposed. And dattva cha abhayam atmavan, and when you renounce everything, then you will be giving fearlessness to the people. So as a householder, a person gives charity, and a sannyasi, He gives fearlessness. Person renounced order of life. Right? So that is indicated in the first two lines. May Atmanam Saha Jagat Drakshase Atmani Chapima. Therefore, you will be able to see everything within me and me within everything. Right? And Vishnu Thakur points out, you will see everything within me. That means you will realize myself as Mahavishnu. Everything within me. See all the universes in my higher poles. And you will see me within everything. Means realization of Shirodakshai Vishnu, who enters within every item also. Right? So therefore, you will realize me as Mahavishnu and me as Shirodakshai Vishnu also. Like that. And Prabhupada says, commenting upon the last two lines and the first paragraph, last three, four lines, the Lord says, you will see everything in the world to be non-different from me. This means everything should be considered a product of the Lord's energy, and therefore everything should be employed in the service of the Lord. One's energy should be utilized for one's self-interest. That is the perfection of energy. And what is the self-interest? As Prahlad Maharaj also pointed out, one's self-interest lies in Nate Vidu Swarth Gatim Hi Vishnu, in worshipping Lord Vishnu. So Prabhupada points out, this energy can be utilized for real self-interest if one is compassionate. Right? So when one Swarth Gatim Hi Vishnu, right? So one's real self-interest is in approaching Vishnu, and even more so in helping others approach Vishnu and give them fearlessness. Right? So that is also one's self-interest as such. Then again talking about this, May Atmanam Saha Jagat Drakshasi Atmanim, that one will be able to see everything within me and me within everything. So then Prabhupada describes three kinds of devotees. The neophytes can only see the Lord in the temple. Neophyte devotees. Right? And then there are second class devotees. There that Prabhupada describes. Right? That is the third paragraph you see. So all the three kinds of devotees Prabhupada describes. And the first class devotee described in the 11th canto is one. Right? Who can see the Lord everywhere. Sarva Bhuteshu Ye Pashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. That verse is there in 11th canto, 5th chapter. Sarva Bhuteshu Ye Pashyet. Prabhupada is just quoting the translation that how first class devotees, he can see the Lord everywhere actually. Right? And then in the second last paragraph, Prabhupada says, to award fearlessness to the common man is the greatest act of charity. Someone can read first five lines of the paragraph. To award fearlessness.
To award fearlessness to the common man is the greatest act of charity. A sannyasi or one who is in the renounced order of life should wander from door to door, from village to village, from town to town, and from country to country, all over the world, as far as he is able to travel, and enlighten the householders about Krishna consciousness.
Okay, so... And then Prabhupada, the beautiful phrase in the middle of this this paragraph, Prabhupada describes Varnashrama as a division of labor in Lord's service. See, there is a division of labor in Lord's service. Right? So the Grastha is supposed to maintain all the other ashrama, sannyasi is supposed to ward fearlessness, right? Brahmachari is supposed to perform devotional austerities, right? Learn the scriptures, so like that. So there is a division of labor in the Lord's service. It's a beautiful phrase that Prabhupada describes. We go to text 32. Saha ham swavam shakalaya tadvirena mahamune tavashetre devahutyam
pranishye tattva samhitam.
O great sage, I shall manifest my own plenary portion through your wife, Devahuti, along with your 9 daughters. And I shall instruct her in the system of philosophy that deals with the ultimate principles or categories.
Okay, so the Lord says, even I will actually, so aham swam shakalaya, I shall also manifest my own plenary portion, so aham shakalaya. Right? So one has to, there are, Lord has a vinnamsh expansion, which is the living entities. And there are so amsh kalaya. Within the so amsh, there are further many divisions. Right? There are further many divisions which has been described. But Prabhupada says all the division of the Lord, where is the first expansion Baldev or the expansion of his expansion, they all have the same power. There is no difference between them. Right? So that Prabhupada points out. And also Prabhupada says there is no difference between him and the holy name. Right? So basically one should understand that specifically whatever is manifested from the Lord's Sarupa, from his Sarupa Shakti, right? The holy name is not different from him. All the expansions from his Sarupa Shakti, they are considered not different from him. But the expansion of his material energy, they are considered to be different from him, but also non-different. So therefore, one has to understand that the expansion of the Lord, previously we had discussed in the first canto, the expansion of from his Sarup Shakti, internal potency, they are non-different, actually. Right? And from the when it comes to Vinnam Chitra Shakti, there is a difference, but there is non-difference. And when it comes to the material energy, there is a more difference, and the non-difference is less. Similarity reduces from internal potency to marginal to external. The difference increases, right? You're understanding the point. The similarity reduces, right? Internal potency expansion are as good as the Supreme Lord. Jivas are there, you know, but there is a the difference increases as one goes. This is the point. But Prabhupada says herein, the difference between his various expansions, they're all the same. So they're all manifestation of internal potency. Fine? So the Lord thus speaks to him. So, text 33. Maitreya uvacha एवं तम मनु भाष्याथ भगवान प्रत्यगक्षजा जगाम बिंदु सरस सरस्वत्या परिश्रितात.
Maitreya went on. Thus having spoken to Kardama Muni, the Lord, who reveals himself only when the senses are in Krishna consciousness, departed from that lake called Bindu Sarovar, which was encircled by the river Saraswati.
Okay, so mainly Prabhupada, Bhagavan Pratyagakshaja, right? The Lord is revealed, he is Adhokshaja, who doesn't come under, you know, from the under the purview of material senses, but he is also Pratyagakshaja. He is very much perceived by purified senses. The Lord is beyond the material senses, but he is within the experience of purified senses. So that is Pratyagakshaja. Like Adhokshaja and Pratyagakshaja are like the opposite words. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that point. And Jagam Bindu Sarasa. This Bindu Sarovar is same as, from Prabhupada description, looks like the same as one we have in Bhuvaneshwar, Bindu Sarovar. Right? Where to this day, this Bindu Sarovar is famous. You're purifying a person, right? And also we understand that there could be a Bindu Sarovar place in upper planets also, right? As Prabhupada has previously pointed out. 34th. Yeah, we can read the translations. Maitreya Muni is summarizing.
While the sage stood looking on, the Lord left by the pathway leading to Vaikuntha, a path extolled by all great liberated souls. The sage stood listening as the hymns forming the basis of the Samaveda were vibrated by the flapping wings of the Lord's carrier Garuda.
Okay, so the Lord left by Garuda, and by his flapping, this, the hymns of the Samaveda were heard. Just read the four line of the purport, first four lines.
In the Vedic literature, it is stated that the two wings of the transcendental bird Garuda, who carries the Lord everywhere, are two divisions of the Samaveda, known as Brihat and Rathantara. Garuda works as the carrier of the Lord. Therefore, he is considered the transcendental prince of all carriers.
Right? The transcendental prince of all carriers, the Lord. And last two, three lines of the same paragraph.
This Samaveda utterances are automatically heard by the devotee when another devotee of the Lord, Garuda, flaps his wings.
Right, so also insightful line. Right? Not everyone could hear the hymns of Samaveda. Kardamuni had, you know, the devotional qualification also to hear as such. Yes, go ahead, read the translation.
Then, after the departure of the Lord, the worshipful sage Kardama stayed on the bank of Bindu Sarovara, awaiting the time of which the Lord had spoken.
Go ahead, read.
Swayambhu Manu, with his wife, mounted his chariot, which was decorated with golden ornaments. Placing his daughter on it with them, he began traveling all over the earth. O Vidura, they reached the hermitage of the sage who had just completed his vows of austerity on the very day foretold by the Lord. The holy lake Bindu Sarovar, flooded by the waters of the river Saraswati, was resorted to by hosts of eminent sages. Its holy water was not only auspicious, but as sweet as nectar. It was called Bindu Sarovar because drops of tears had fallen there from the eyes of the Lord, who was overwhelmed by extreme compassion for the sage who had sought his protection.
Right. So, this Bindu Sarovar, the Lord's tears are there in this Bindu Sarovar. Read the first three lines of the purport.
Kardama underwent austerities to gain the causeless mercy of the Lord. And when the Lord arrived there, he was so compassionate that in pleasure he shed tears, which became Bindu Sarovar.
Right. So, in compassion, as a compassionate Lord, he shed tears, right? Tears of pleasure, actually, right? By seeing the Kardam Muni who had underwent such hard austerities to please the Lord. And so that Prabhupada says, so therefore, these tears of the Lord are not different from river Ganges. Okay, next.
The shore of the lake was surrounded by clusters of pious trees and creepers, rich in fruits and flowers of all seasons, that afforded shelter to pious animals and birds, which uttered various cries. It was adorned by the beauty of groves of forest trees.
Okay, go ahead.
The area resounded with the notes of overjoyed birds. Intoxicated bees wandered there. Intoxicated peacocks proudly danced, and merry cuckoos called one another.
Right, so it was a very beautiful, the whole area. Kardamuni performed austerities was a very beautiful scene. Yes.
Lake Bindu Sarovar was adorned by flowering trees such as Kadamba, Champaka, Ashoka, Karanja, Bakula, Asana, Kunda, Mandara, Kutaja, and young mango trees. The air was filled with the pleasing notes of Karandava ducks, plovers, swans, ospreys, waterfowl, cranes, chakravakas, and chakoras.
Rupa says, for most of these trees, flowers, fruits and birds mentioned here as surrounding Bindu Sarovar, English synonyms cannot be found. Parallel English words, we just put the Sanskrit name.
Its shores abounded with deer, boars, porcupines, gavayas, elephants, baboons, lions, monkeys, mongooses and musk deer.
Go ahead.
entering that most sacred spot with his daughter and going near the sage, the first monarch, Swayambhuva Manu, saw the sage sitting in his hermitage, having just propitiated the sacred fire by pouring oblations into it. His body shone most brilliantly, though he had engaged in austere penance for a long time. He was not initiated, for the Lord has cast his affectionate sidelong glance upon him, and he had also heard the nectar flowing from the moon-like words of the Lord. The sage was tall, his eyes were large, like the petals of a lotus, and he had matted locks on his head. He was clad in rags. Swayambhuva Manu approached and saw him to be somewhat soiled, like an unpolished gem.
Okay, so read the first six lines of the purport.
Here are some descriptions of a brahmachari yogi. In the morning, the first duty of a brahmachari seeking spiritual elevation is huta hutashana, to offer sacrificial oblations to the Supreme Lord. Those engaged in brahmacharya cannot sleep until 7 or 9 o'clock in the morning. They must rise early in the morning, at least 1.5 hours before the sun rises, and offer oblations. Or in this age, they must chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, right. So, that is one point Prabhupada makes. Right. And then Prabhupada makes another point on the, if you see the text 46, fourth line, Snigdha Apanga Avalokanath. Right? Text 46, fourth line, Snigdha Apanga Avalokanath. Right? So Prabhupada points that out in the middle of the purport. Hear the word, can you see that? Read that. Hear the word Snigdha Apanga Avalokanath means.
Here the word Snigdha Apanga Avalokanath means that he was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Lord face to face. He looked healthy because he had directly received the nectarian sound vibrations from the lotus lips of the personality of Godhead.
So Prabhupada says, you know, he practicing all the austerities, he should have looked very, you know, lean and thin, but he was not looking emaciated, because he had received the glance of the Lord and received the words of the Lord. And Prabhupada makes a observation. Similarly, one who hears the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, also improves in health. See that, right? Because we have actually seen many grihasthas, brahmacharis and grihasthas connected with ISKCON, they have improved the health and the luster has come to their faces. Right? So basically, again, one should understand, not a primary characteristic, one should not judge others. But one's own self, you know, one should understand that if I chant very nicely, I will also improve in health. Right? So if I have health problem, I should try to chant more nicely. So for one's own self-evaluation, remember that. Not that if someone is suffering, one should conclude iska chanting thik se nahi chal raha hai. Not for others to evaluate, remember that, you know. One should judge by their right main primary symptom, which is Krishna Kasharan, that how they are taking shelter of the Lord and serving him. Okay, go ahead, read the next translation.
Seeing that the monarch had come to his hermitage and was bowing before him, the sage greeted him with benediction and received him with due honor.
Right? Prati Nandya Anurupaya, befitting the king. So he is also, is important etiquette, you know, to receive a person befitting his honor. Yes.
After receiving the sage's attention, the king sat down and was silent. Recalling the instructions of the Lord, Kardama then spoke to the king as follows, delighting him with his sweet essence.
Okay, so he, iti yaha slakshanayagira means the sweet. Kardama Muni speaks sweetly to Swayambhuva Manu. Yes, read.
The tour you have undertaken, O Lord, is surely intended to protect the virtuous and kill the demons, since you embody the protecting energy of Sri Hari.
Okay, so he is kind of saying that is, you know, you are touring your kingdom, and the kings tour the kingdom for the purpose of protecting the virtuous and killing the demons. You must be touring for that purpose, right? So he like saying that you are a dutiful king. He is telling him, you are a dutiful king. Yes, go ahead.
You assume, when necessary, the part of the sun god, the moon god, Agni, the god of fire, Indra, the lord of paradise, Vayu, the wind god, Yama, the god of punishment, Dharma, the god of piety, and Varuna, the god presiding over the waters. All obeisances to you, who are none other than Lord Vishnu.
Okay, so... he's saying, the king is the representative of the Supreme Lord, and whenever necessary, you assume the part of sun god, moon god, so various demigods, So, herein, Prabhupada says, the sage Kardam was a Brahmana and Swayambhu was a Kshatriya. The sage was not supposed to offer obeisance to the king, because socially his position was greater than the king's. But he offered his obeisance to Swayambhu Manu because as Manu, king and emperor, he was representative of the Supreme Lord. Right? So the king may, sometime punish a person, citizens. Right? He may act as the Indriya, or he may become very stern and strict like a sun. Other time he may become very pleasant to citizens like a moon. So something like that, You can understand how the king may assume the role of various demigods. He is the representative of the Supreme Lord. Okay. Read.
If you did not mount your victorious jeweled chariot, whose mere presence threatens culprits, if you did not produce fierce sounds by the twanging of your bow, and if you did not roam about the world like the brilliant sun, leading a huge army, whose trampling feet cause the globe of the earth to tremble, then all the moral laws governing the varnas and ashramas created by the Lord himself would be broken by the rogues and rascals.
Okay, so basically Prabhupada talks about protection of varna and ashrama in the purport, right? It's the duty of a responsible king to protect the social and spiritual order in human society. And then Prabhupada describes the social and spiritual orders in the purport. Okay, there's a few important remarks of Prabhupada. You can second paragraph read from fourth line.
The Lord says that the institution of four varnas and four ashramas is created by me. Anything created by the Lord cannot be closed or covered. The divisions of varnas and ashramas will continue to exist either in their original form or in degraded form. But because they are created by the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they cannot be extinguished. They are like the sun, a creation of God, and therefore will remain. Either covered by clouds or in a clear sky, the sun will continue to exist.
Right. So that is one remark Prabhupada gives about Varnashrama. How? Because created by the Lord, it will remain. Right? The sun will remain. Similarly, Varnashrama remains. Even today's society, Prabhupada says, there are four classes, although it is in degraded form. Okay, the last two verses, yes. Read 55-56.
If you gave up all thought of the world situation, unrighteousness would flourish. For men who hanker only after money would be unopposed. Such miscreants would attack and the world would perish.
Okay, so again Prabhupada gives a Varnashram perspective. And Prabhupada says, because this Varnashram is not being followed, this society is in chaos. Hit the last four lines.
The society is now in chaos and there is neither peace nor prosperity. It is clearly stated herein that unless there is the vigilance of a strong king, impious, unqualified men will claim a certain status in society and that will make the social order perish.
Right. So the king maintains the social order. Okay, last.
In spite of all this, I ask you, O valiant king, the purpose for which you have come here, whatever it may be, we shall carry it out without reservation.
Right. So Now he asks the king the purpose for which he has come here. Right? So, Prabhupada says, in the fifth line, formerly it was customary that the sages used to go to the kings. And the king used to visit the sages in their hermitages. Each was glad to fulfill the other's purpose. This reciprocal relationship is called bhakti karya. There is a nice verse describing the relationship of mutual beneficial interest between the brahmana and the kshatriya, kshatram dvijatvam. Kshatra means the royal order and dvijatvam means the brahminical order. The two were meant for mutual interest. The royal order would give protection to the brahmanas for the cultivation of spiritual advancement in society. And the brahmanas would give their valuable instruction to the royal order on how the state and the citizens can gradually be elevated in spiritual perfection. Jaya Granthara Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jaya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna.